The Daily Migs Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Migs.
Beat Migs, don't be a loser.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Osh from Auburn is. Osh, are you there?
It's actually Josh.
No, it's not.
Yeah, swear to God, I played last week and I beat Steve 8-7.
What is happening? You're the first person who played today. I got his name wrong too.
You might need to get your hearing checked.
Oh, but I can hear him
maybe
fine
Sarah
now.
Sarah just doesn't care about the listeners.
Oh. Are you kidding? I care
Josh
about you.
Or Osh. Josh, you're 1,000% right. Every morning, she's like, I hate these listeners, I tell you. I screw them over all
the
time.
She was also saying that she needs a hearing aid now that she's 40. So.
And Josh, I care about you so much that I give Taryn 3 of the answers, okay. And she tells them at 5:40 on the men's room, okay? That's how much I care and love you guys.
Okay, I guess I'll give you that one.
Yeah, that's
reluctantly.
Right. All right, Steve, it's time for you to get out of here.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, for those playing at home, Josh has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions.
Oh,
you know what? Give me a break. You can pass all you want, but you only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
How many minutes is each quarter in football?
15.
Correct. Alice in Chains had the 94 album titled Jar of What?
Flies.
Yes. The quote, double, double, toil, and trouble came from what Shakespeare play?
Hamlet?
No.
Pass.
What was the first publicly traded U.S. company to reach a $1 trillion market cap?
Apple.
Yes. What animated Christmas movie follows the story of a young boy who rides a train to the North Pole?
Polar Express.
Yes. Fortune cookies were invented in what U.S. state?
California.
Yes. What kind of dog is the Yale mascot Handsome Dan?
Pass.
Steve Carell left The Office after how many seasons?
9?
No.
8?
No. Okay. No. What color are the sunsets on Mars?
Purple.
No.
Green?
No.
Yellow.
No. What decade did the original Gremlins movie come out?
80s.
Correct. The quote, double, double, toil, and trouble came from what Shakespeare play?
Macbeth.
Yes.
All right.
Josh, you got 7 correct. Ooh, and you got all the answers that were on the cheat sheet. What? That were on the cheat sheet?
Yeah, wasn't it the Shakespeare one?
Yeah, he got that.
I did. I didn't hear it. Sorry.
Wow. Wow, Josh, did you hear that? I think Danny doesn't care about you, but
I care about Steve. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling Osh or Josh or whatever his name is.
It's Josh.
Steve, are you ready?
Yeah.
How many minutes is each quarter in football?
15.
Yes. Alice in Chains had the 94 album titled Jar of What?
Jar of Osh.
Josh.
Jar of Flies.
Correct. The quote, double, double, toil, and trouble came from what Shakespeare play?
Romeo and Osh?
No.
Romeo and Juliet.
No.
Hamlet?
No. What was the first publicly traded U.S. company to reach $1 trillion market cap?
I'm going to have to... Facebook?
No.
Apple?
Yes. What animated Christmas movie follows the story of a young boy who rides a train to the North Pole?
That's if I know. I don't know. Little Billy's train ride?
No.
Riding the train to Santa?
No.
Santa Claus?
No. Fortune cookies were invented in what U.S. state?
I'm going to say Washington.
No.
Oh, New York.
No.
California.
There you go. What kind of dog is the Yale mascot Handsome Dan?
A bulldog.
Correct. Steve Carell left The Office after how many seasons?
6.
No.
9.
That's nice, but no.
7.
Yes, but it's too late. Steve, you got 5 correct, which is a loss, 7-5. Let's go, Josh.
All right, 2-0.
Oh, son of a. I'm starting to feel like Sarah. I don't think I like him anymore.
I like him, okay? I always liked him. I just got his name wrong. Double, double, toil, and trouble is from Macbeth.
Okay.
That was on the cheat sheet. The animated Christmas movie follows the story of a young boy who rides the train to North Pole, also on the cheat sheet, and Josh got this correct. The Polar Express.
I don't know if I've ever seen that one.
I saw it when it came out years ago. You're... you'll eventually probably get into it with Tatum. Because okay. She loves Christmas and all that.
And it's the season now.
Yeah, she'll probably actually really like that
movie.
We
just watched The Grinch.
Oh, right in October.
Perfect time.
And then Steve Carell left The Office after seven seasons. Two, you didn't get to What Color Are Sunsets on Mars?
Pink?
No.
Purple?
No.
Black?
No. Blue.
Okay.
I think Josh said all the other colors too except for blue. And then what decade did the original Gremlins movie come out?
The 80s.
Correct. So you still would have lost, but...
Gizmo.
Rockaholics, you are cordially invited to join us at Showbox Soto on December 13th. It's a Friday night, and it is live night where everything is performed live from the stage, from the sound effects by the Foley artists to the Barbershop Quartet backed by popular demand.
Always. They're always a blast, and I'm excited to see how the men's room are going to use them this time around because it's always fun. But we're also going to have our friend Micah the Beast, the great ukulele player. He's going to be me, my, uke, and I, and we're gonna figure out some fun stuff to do with him as well, so it's going to be a blast.
Do not miss out. You can get those tickets now at KISW.com. Steve Miggs, who is your favorite bassist?
Wow. Well, definitely not the dude from Rush.
Oh my gosh, rude.
Or the dude from Primus.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's my number one and my number two.
I know, that's why I said it. I lean towards Duff McKagan, Guns N' Roses. I mean, I've always loved the way that he plays the bass.
Yeah.
Would you put Geddy Lee as your number one?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons of Kiss. He just took shots at a guy that is probably many people's favorite bassist. And you're going to hear who that is after Def Leppard.
The Daily Mix Show.
Gene Simmons, the co-founder of Kiss,
yes,
recently discussed his bass playing preferences. He said he doesn't like show-offs. And this was all in an interview
with
Guitar
World. Says the guy who wears nothing but makeup, breathes fire, and also has a bloody bass solo moment during a Kiss show, but he doesn't like show off.
No, that's too much.
He keeps it simple on the bass lines, but everything else is a theatrical just overload.
Exactly. So this was in an interview with Guitar World where he mentioned specifically that Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers may be skilled, of course, but he has an unmemorable style and he doesn't like the sound of slapped bass.
See, I can understand not being, maybe Flea's not your cup of tea, but I think Flea's bass lines are very memorable. I think he always has some really interesting and cool stuff. I'm, you know, in a weird way, I don't disagree with Gene in a sense, because like I'm not the type of drummer that loves, and I'm not trying to crap on Neil Peart, but like,
gosh.
I would much rather listen to a song with Meg White on drums than Neil Peart on drums.
Wow.
And that pisses off all of my drummer friends.
Pissed off me too.
I can understand that. I'm a fan of simplicity. Like, I've always loved, like, when music is at its simplest form, that's usually what I vibe with. When it gets a little too, like, proggy and over the top, I appreciate it and I respect it, but it's not my cup of tea.
Well, you and Gene have that in common then.
Yes. And we both like to breathe fire. But so I grabbed, because I was like, you know, I haven't listened to like an isolated bass track from either of them to kind of like make a full opinion, because nowadays with technology, we can just grab like just the bass parts of songs. And as I was listening to them, I'm like, I feel like Taryn, I think you'd be too good at this game.
Okay.
I have a dumb game. And I think I'm going to pit Danny and Sarah against each other.
Oh, good.
Great.
So I have found just the isolated bass parts of both Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Gene Simmons from Kiss. And I want you to tell me if you think it's Flea or Gene.
All right.
All right. Danny, you want to go first?
Sure.
All right. So here you go. Flea. You think that's Flea?
Yeah.
Dang it. Donkey. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, he's got such a cool bass line right there. And that is a total memory. That's why I'm like, Gene, you're smoking crack. Like, that is a definite hummable bass line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sarah, you ready?
You know it.
You are correct.
That's right.
And a lot of people give Gene like a hard time. Like, oh, he wasn't even like, I always thought he was a very good bassist. I thought he had like a very like Paul McCartney. I know it's going to piss off some Beatles fans, but I always felt like he had like a Paul McCartney type of a vibe when he was doing his bass lines. It was very tasteful. Like this. Yeah, baby.
I love that Steve is like pretending to play his little air bass over here.
So excited.
He's so excited.
And I don't know why, but when I play the bass is hiked all the way up to my nipples.
And it's really short. It looks like a little ukulele.
When you slap in a bass, you got to do a high.
Because sometimes you want to just inadvertently slap your nipples. No?
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, let's see if you can get this one.
All right.
That's Gene. You are correct. You keep on shouting, you keep on
shouting. All right, this.
Wanna rock and roll all night.
Oh, no.
You're really good at plucking there, Steve.
I'm a plucker. All right, one more for you there, Sarah. You ready?
Yes. I'm nervous because this is very famous. This is Flea.
You are correct.
Oh, phew.
It's a great bass line.
Yeah, it is.
Things. But I think with that one especially, like, yeah, Flea does go a little crazy on some of the stuff and does like the slap the bass, but he also has some really tasteful bass lines.
Absolutely. Okay, and he tops almost every list. He's in like the top 10 in every list of bassists ever.
Who's a better singer though? Anthony Kiedis or Gene Simmons?
Oh. I'm glad you didn't say Paul Stanley, because that's a no-brainer. It's Paul Stanley, Star Child all the way. You know, I think I'd lean... Man, that's a tough one. I think I like more Red Hot Chili... I think I might lean towards Anthony Kiedis.
I think so, too. He's got more depth.
Yeah, like, Gene kind of was like... A couple of his songs, I would rock with a lot of Kiss songs where Gene was singing, but there were a few where I'm like, okay, this is a little cheesy, Mr. Grunty. I think once we realized that he wasn't as scary of a demon that he portrayed as the character, once like we kind of like lifted the curtain back and then you realize he was just like this like shrewd businessman and he wasn't really like a demon man. Just kind of spoiled it for me.
Oh, burst the bubble.
Yeah.
Well, the Warped Tour is back, Danny V.
Hooray!
Kind of. It's not a full-on Warped Tour. It's actually just a few select dates. And some fans are pissed about that. So we're going to go straight to the comments at 8:20.
The Daily Mix Show. Everyone knows social media is a time suck. And what you're about to hear proves it. If it's online, someone, somewhere, has an opinion and is whining about it. So let's get straight to the comments.
Vans Warped Tour is back, and the presale starts tomorrow, Danny.
Danny, you're going to try and get tickets?
Yep, 9 a.m. I will be sitting here in the queue.
Ooh. The Warped Tour is returning after a six-year hiatus, and people are a little disturbed by the fact that they're calling it a tour because there are only three cities being featured. It's D.C., Long Beach, and Orlando.
And with two shows per city, right?
Two days per city. So although many fans are very excited about the return, they're not very happy about the layout. So we're going to go straight to the comments.
And there's nothing more punk rock than going on social media to complain about a festival.
Ooh.
And boy, have we found a few. And this was definitely an illustration of how people get worked up sometimes over the dumbest things. Like, just be happy that this tour or this show is back and they're going to be doing some shows. But no, nothing's ever good enough for people on social media. So we sent some of these comments and these posts to our production director, Jason, and said, hey, pick out some of your favorite ones and reenact them however you'd like. Are you ready for the first comment about the Warped Tour returning?
Yeah. Let's go.
Remember when Warped Tour used to really tour? Not just a few cities in the U.S. Pepperidge Farm remembers, and I remember.
All right, first, before we even tackle the whole people being mad that it's not enough shows, does anyone other than Taryn and I remember the Pepperidge Farm guy?
Nope.
No.
Oh. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
There's just a dumb commercial where I don't even remember what they were remembering. That went back when bread was good.
Oh, yeah. The good old days.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
I mean, I don't think it's a... Danny, are you bothered that it's not a full-on tour?
Not at all.
I know you went on Instagram and you became unhinged on Instagram.
Yeah, I got... No, but I'm
with your stories.
I got unhinged at the people who are unhinged about the tour. Because it's...
Right.
I'm like... We're not doing a full tour. It's just that I did not expect a full tour with them coming back.
And who cares? I mean, at the end of the day, if you really want to go, find a place that sounds fun, and then that's a great weekend to go just enjoy 2 days of awesome music.
Make that your vacation next year. It's going to be amazing.
All right, next comment.
Having the nerve to call this the Vans Warped Tour is legitimately shameful. Shame on you. Take it easy, Danny.
It's not Danny. Danny's okay with the fact that it's not a full-on tour.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah. Jason seems to be doing as an issue with this.
Yeah.
Do we know what bands are playing yet?
No, they won't. That's the thing, is that tomorrow it's going to be just pre-sale, but you buy them blind.
Wow.
And they're cheap, so then they don't start announcing bands until I think everyone's speculating January.
What if it's like none of the bands are bands that you'd want to see? Like, it's just like, it's like the most unwarped tour, warped tour.
That's fine. You know what? At that point, I'm ready for that,
like,
too. Because
it's like Trapped and Three Doors Down.
All day.
Like Saliva.
We're going.
I would love that.
Creed.
I'm so in for it.
Just because Danny would be so disappointed.
I wouldn't. I'm literally saying I won't be disappointed.
You would be disappointed if Creed's the only band you heard of.
No. At that point, you know what? We're still going to California, and I'm going to make Weekend out of it.
Oh, you're just doing that to spite us, but deep down inside, you'll be crying on the inside.
Yeah, but, well, the fact that Creed probably will not play the Vans Warped Tour.
I would buy a ticket for all of the shows if Creed does it.
I'd rather nothing than this. What a way to take a giant ass on Warped Tour's legacy. I thought you guys were better than this.
I love when people think for other companies and places like that, like, you're better than this. Well, I know. I think they're going to be okay.
Warped Tour's legacy, which was also Kevin Lyman, who is still fronting it all. Like, it's not like a new company that's taking over.
It doesn't matter. People will find anything to complain about.
This has completely ruined that guy's day.
I would have rather nothing than this. Then just don't go.
Yeah, don't go. Then that's nothing.
Like, you're going to go to your grave going, you know, my life was good until Warped Tour came back, and then it just destroyed everything in my life. Everything went downhill. My wife left me. My kids stopped talking to me. My dog urinated on my bed. All because Warped Tour returned.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
We have a couple more.
Might as well just call this When We Were Warped. You can't have my money, you corporate f***.
Wow.
They're never going to make it without that person's money.
I mean, I'm not here to, like, but it's called the Vans Warped Tour, put together by a corporate company known as Vans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like as if this is like this small mom and pop thing. And back when I remember going at the Kingdome parking lot, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
When are they going to bring it back to the Kingdome parking lot?
Probably.
Why don't you go
year.
Online and complain in the comments about that?
We have one more comment, and we definitely saved the worst, or maybe the best, for last. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
This is the doozy.
Please don't have different stage access tiers. That's all I'm asking, okay?
That's actually Danny's comment.
That was mine.
I found that on the I saw that on one of the Warp posts. I'm like, Jason, you gotta read that one.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That was me. That's the only one that I don't want.
Did you get any activity on that comment?
Oh yeah.
A lot of likes.
Yeah, a lot of likes.
I don't even know what that means.
Please don't have different stage access tiers. That's all I'm asking, okay?
Wait, do you have to pay more to be able to access certain stages?
Different areas to watch the bands play.
Oh, so like, you know, like...
So VIP gets the front.
Oh.
If you just buy a general admission, you're off to the side. And you can't, like, get, like, a clear on view of the
stage. Right, because Warped Tour...
It was just open to everyone.
It's just going to be GA. It's not like there's no seats. Yep. At least I remember when I would go, you just go... When you saw, oh, crap, Pennywise is playing now on stage A.
Yeah.
You have to, like, start hightailing it, getting it over to stage A. And you might have to miss the band that's still playing on stage B.
Right. And yeah, so the only reason that people are speculating that is because it is kind of like suspicious that When We Were Young is not coming back next year, but Warped Tour all of a sudden is. So, and with When We Were Young, they did like 15 different stage access things that you could buy. And of course, the more you could do, like there was like a $5,000 cabana that you could do. And it's like, that's like the best thing you could possibly get, bottle service and everything. It's like, okay, don't bring that to Warped Tour.
No, there's nothing more punk rock than bottle service.
Well, you know.
They only got the little sparklers and girls in bikinis bringing them to you. I'm in.
Let's go.
You know, with nose rings and tattoos.
You know what? I take back my comment. Let's do the cabana next year.
So you're going to go to the one in California?
Yes, most likely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be great.
I'm worried. I'm a little worried about the queue tomorrow because it's like, get in the queue and you have to wait. And it's every time I do that, I never get tickets. Mm. So I'm like, well, we'll see what happens.
Well, hope you're not like my wife and I who got in the queue last night to get to the Washington State Fairgrounds, their North Pole thing that they do, because apparently it sells like crazy. So we got in the queue hoping to get like tickets and, you know, get a good tickets for a specific date because they sell out. Only to realize once we were done with being in the queue and we could purchase our tickets, this was the queue for the Kickstarter people only.
Oh, boy. Time well spent.
Neither one of us bothered to look and check on the website. We're like waiting, and this was like a good half hour, 40 minutes in this queue. And we finally like, okay, it's our time to pick. And like, son of a bitch, this is just for Kickstarter people. What the F?
There is.
So don't put me in charge of getting you Warped Tour tickets.
I won't. All
right. There is a well-known celebrity who just went onto Instagram to say something to her fans, and she was quite upset.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Y'all going to die. I'm going to beat the out of you.
Yeah, she's angry.
Just a little bit. Well, she's mad because she doesn't know who's playing Warped Tour.
We're going to find out what was going on with that during What's Trending after Whitesnake. As you make your way through your morning routine, Rockaholics, we understand that the world of pop culture can be a bit overwhelming. So we're here to help you out and tell you what's trending.
What's trending? Yeah. Pregnant pause. Oh, it's me, so. What's trending? Let's go.
Let's go. An anonymous informant prank called Child Protective Services and made a claim that Cardi B was abusing her children.
Aye.
CPS and the police were called to Cardi's house, and then she unleashed in a live Instagram video how she feels about this caller, making threats. She's going to sue him, physical violence, all that good stuff. Here's what it sounded
like. Cardi B, unhinged.
Y'all want a prank call? Y'all want to do funny? Y'all want to give anonymous tips and involve my kids in it? Now you're gonna see. You're going to see the evil side of me because I'm not letting the go. Y'all going to die.
Okay. It's just a little hardcore right there, right?
She scares me. She does.
Yeah. I'm going to beat the out of you. I'm not calling the cops on you. As soon as I know and retract that phone call, I'm going to beat the out of you. If you're a man, my baby father is going to beat the out of you because you thought it was okay to mess with our kids.
WrestleMania, book this one.
I would never mess with Cardi B.
No. Yeah, she sounds a little unhinged.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't buy. What kind of person, though, calls CPS?
That's evil.
To do something that bad. And also on the flip side, not like. They just like straight up just. Like, I guess they have to believe them? Because like, I'd be like, do you even know Cardi B? Can you prove that you know this person? Because that just seems kind of odd that you could just call and say that a celebrity is beating up on their kids without any proof that you know the celebrity or know the situation. That just seems like we could go down a real slippery slope with that kind of crap.
Absolutely.
Man, this is a bummer story. I don't know if this is something that maybe, Taryn, you remember this guy, but growing up, I was a big baseball fan, and I loved the Dodgers mainly because of Steve Garvey, and I was a fan for any team that had a star player named Steve. But really, the star of the Los Angeles Dodgers when I was a fan of them was Fernando Valenzuela. He was an incredible pitcher, and sadly, they announced yesterday that he passed away. He was only 63 years old.
Wow.
He was a rookie back in 1981. And this, talk about what a monster season he had in his rookie year. Rookie of the year. He also got the Cy Young Award for being the best pitcher and also won a World Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Some would say that that is the greatest rookie year in the history of all pro sports. In fact, I think I know, but I don't know if they knew this before he passed away, but they're making like a giant mural of Fernando Valenzuela on a building that you can see like on the freeway, and it's supposedly going to be done before the World Series is over. The World Series does start this Friday. Game one is in Los Angeles, so I got to imagine there's going to be a lot of tributes and a lot of love for an absolute legend in the world of baseball.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was awesome.
When it comes to legends, there's one, excuse me, by the name of Steve Miggs, who is almost unbeatable in the game, beat Miggs.
That's right.
He's got a record of 297 wins, 89 losses, and 51 ties in 2024.
Let me just say this. Whoever calls in this morning, this is what I'm going to do to you.
Y'all going to die. I'm going to beat the out of you.
That's how I'm feeling today for beat Megs.
That is aggressive.
Is that 206. Is that too much?
No.
206-803 Rock. We will play beat Megs at 8:50.
The Daily Megs Show.